Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Time is a gift of God, and we experience it in three ways: past, present, and future. Our present is very much influenced by our past, and our future will be influenced by both our past history and our present decisions. As I thought about what has just transpired in this week with the tragedy of the collapsed bridge, we look into the mystery of time. A minute before it collapsed, you were okay. A minute afterward, you couldn't get there from here. But unfortunately, the people who were on that bridge had a different fate. Past, present, and future. This evening in our New Testament lesson, we will look at the Lord's Supper as his kingdom meal from our New Testament reading. And I will be dividing my sermon into three points, all of which relate to time, past, present, and future aspects of the Lord's Supper. So my first point, the past aspects of the Lord's Supper, which means to remember. In Luke 22, verse 15, the text says this, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Christ has a fervent and strong desire to eat this Passover meal with his apostles before he suffers and dies on the cross. This meal signifies the mysteries of the new covenant that he will inaugurate, the great deliverance of his people from sin through the power of his death on the cross. And the very elements that we now know in the Lord's Supper, the bread signifying Christ's body, the wine signifying Christ's blood. The Passover is the religious memorial celebration of the judgment of God against the firstborn of Egypt and the deliverance of God's people out of bondage. While the Egyptian firstborn males died on that evening as a result of God's judgment, it was the Israelite babies that were spared when the male of each household put the blood on the doorpost and above the door. When the death angel saw the blood, it passed over. This meal that the children of Israel would eat together foreshadowed Christ's suffering and death on the cross, in which the only begotten Son of God was slain in order to deliver his people from our bondage to sin and death. The cross was very close at this last Passover meal. Jesus knew that. And the cross did not come about by accident, but was part of God's plan and purpose. This Passover meal would be the setting for what the church would call the Lord's Supper. This meal was important not for sentimental reasons only, but a remembrance of Christ's coming death. Our Lord's death was not to be remembered as merely a martyr's death, but as a saving act of God the Son, who gave himself once for all as a sacrifice for sinners, for sinful humanity. Luke stresses Jesus' foreknowledge of his future passion, showing that his suffering was not an involuntary defeat, but a voluntary self-sacrifice. He offered himself on the cross for our sins freely of his own will, with knowledge aforehand. The Lord Jesus calls on his church, on Christian believers, to have an active remembrance of the Lord's Supper. We are to relive the events of our Lord's death that not only changed history, but changed our lives as well. The account of how Jesus, God the Son, came to live among us, die on the cross for our sins, and then rose again to save us from our sins. We are to remember this meal each time we partake of it, that Christ's body was broken for us, and he shed his blood for us, which these elements signify. The one thing that Jesus has commanded us to do as we observe communion is to remember him in his death, underlying the centrality of the cross of Christ for our salvation and the foundation it is for the Christian faith. We are to actively remember that Christ died for our sins. He died to reconcile us to God. God the Son came to heal our relationship with God and to bring us back into union with him. The Lord's Supper is to remember this central saving act that he suffered and died and was raised on the third day. We are to remember this each time we partake of the Lord's Supper. It is Luke's gospel which shows that in this Passover meal, there was more than one cup of wine spoken of, which the people at the meal drank of. Luke 22:17 speaks of the Lord taking up a cup of thanksgiving. And later on in Luke 22:20, the text speaks of Jesus again taking up a cup after they had eaten a meal in between. In fact, if we look into the history of Passover, scholars speak of a total of four cups that were drank of in the Passover meal. As we reflect on the Lord's Supper as a fulfillment of the Passover meal, there are both similarities and differences between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. By simple observation, the Lord's Supper is no longer a full meal like the Passover was. In fact, in the Lord's Supper, we get just a foretaste of God's coming kingdom. Also, the Passover was commemorated in a family setting, or in this case, the case of Jesus and the 12 disciples, a small group setting, whereas the Lord's Supper commemorated in church is in church with the whole church family of a local parish. The Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of this Passover meal. What already is evident in my comments so far is that the Lord's Supper speaks of this inauguration of God's kingdom through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. This is what we are called on to remember as the Lord's Supper looks backward to the cross. This brings me to my second point, which is the present reality of God's kingdom in the Lord's Supper. Here is where the past saving acts of Christ and his death function as a bridge to our present life as we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight and whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has this present reality of feeding God's people for our journey in this life, and we need this nourishment. Even as we sang in the hymn, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." And that beautiful hymn is talking both about God's Word and God's sacrament, and we need it for our spiritual nourishment. And so it is a meal of thanksgiving. Having just reflected on the aspect of remembering our Lord's death for our salvation, it is a next very logical step in the application of this remembrance to give thanks to God for his mercy in saving us. In Luke 22:17, it says that Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. And then in Luke 22:19, when he had taken some bread, he gave thanks and broke it. This is a meal of thanksgiving to God. This is especially true as we reflect on the grace of God in our salvation. We don't deserve God's grace and kindness. But God does not owe us anything in that way. God saved us out of his pure and undeserved goodness. And yet he saved us because he loves us. And for that, we need to give him thanks. The very word for thanksgiving in the Greek is eucharistio. And in the noun form of that word, Eucharist. And that is why the church is given one of the titles for the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist, the meal of thanksgiving. Another present aspect of the Lord's Supper for us to heed is the warning given within this passage. Luke 22, verses 21 and 22 says this, "But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." This stark statement from our Lord about the one who would betray him, whom we know as Judas Iscariot, is not only a warning about Judas, it is meant to be a warning to all believers of the need to persevere in our trust in Christ. Each of the four Gospels includes Judas's betrayal within this night, the same night that they commemorated the Passover meal together. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, when he's speaking about the Lord's Supper, says, "In the night in which he was betrayed, Christ broke bread and gave thanks. And he gave the wine to his disciples." It's commemorated as the night in which he was betrayed. In these closing verses, the Lord speaks, Luke speaks of the treachery of Judas and how even among Christ's closest followers, there was one who lacked genuine faith in the Lord. Even Judas's betrayal was part of God's ordained plan, and yet at the same time, Judas was responsible for his actions. For Jesus says, "Woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Man is made in God's image. We are not robots. Thus, we are responsible for our actions, choices, and decisions. Because humanity is responsible, we are also accountable to God. This warning emphasizes our need to persevere in our faith in Christ. Judas saw all the miracles that the other apostles saw. He heard the same teaching from the lips of Christ that the others did. And he observed the life of Christ as well as the other 11 did. The other apostles on this very evening committed sins against Christ, such as deserting him, Peter denying Christ. But unlike Judas, they repented of their wrongdoing and came back to Christ. Sadly, Judas did not. So may we partake of the elements as our spiritual food for our present journey. That brings me to my third and final point, and that is the future aspects of a Lord's Supper. In Luke 22, 16, the Lord Jesus said, "I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." It is a debatable question whether Jesus' eating in this verse speaks of Jesus eating with his disciples following his resurrection, or whether he is speaking of his eating with all his redeemed people at the marriage supper of the Lamb in the new heavens and the new earth. It is a debatable point, but for what it's worth, I lean toward this verse speaking of its fulfillment in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Whether or not I am right on this precise point or not, the Lord's Supper does point us into the future. If Luke 22:16 is not referring to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we have this other verse, again from 1 Corinthians 11:26, where the apostle says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper reminds us that Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. At the time of the resurrection of all people, in which he will give eternal life to his believers and bring eternal judgment on those who have rejected Christ. May the Lord's Supper, whenever we partake of it, be a faithful remembrance of his death and resurrection, a spiritual partaking of the elements of communion for our present journey, and also looking forward to the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who in the holy sacrament of communion left your church with a memorial of yourself and a pledge and seal of your redeeming love, grant that as we approach the communion table and receive the elements of your body and blood, that we may join it with genuine love, humility, hope, and be made partakers of your heavenly grace. That our remembrance of your passion and death ever abide in our hearts and strengthen us in our relationship with you, that we may grow in communion with you. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.